Hello, friends, and welcome to the 19th edition of the Fantasy 15 here on Sound of the Loons. We're here to give you 15 minutes on your 15 roster slots for MLS Fantasy. We'll talk a bit about what happened last week, a bunch about what we think is going to happen this week, and get into some overall strategy talk where we can. My name is Steve McPherson, and I am joined on the phone by Jimmy Watson, who beat me this past week and thus decided he didn't have to come to the office anymore.
That's exactly why, and you know what? I feel good about that decision. I feel like it was kind of my walk-off moment after the Friday that I had. I thought it was deemed necessary that I didn't even need to come to the office this week.
Yeah, after the Friday you had, you figured that's it. I'm sailing well past 100 points, right? How'd the rest of the week go for you?
It wasn't quite as good as your week the other week when you were first overall, but we were flirting with the top of the table there, and we were very excited about it over here. And then it quickly went downhill from there. It wouldn't have been nearly as good of a story. So if I would have stayed at the top, it would have been like, that's boring.
Yeah.
So of course it had to crash and burn for the rest of the weekend as the weekend wore on.
The tragedy really only means something when there's you really feel the excitement initially. I mean, if you want the narrative arc, you can't just sail through the weekend. You got to have a crash. But let's start with the fantasy booms. Who was you hit everybody right off the bat? I think that it just you picked a bunch of the right people. So tell me about that.
It found better on Friday. Personally, I mean, it was the trio of Hara, Diamande, Vaco. Everybody was it was going swimmingly.
Yeah.
And it was a great setup, a lot of last-minute panic decisions that changed. So I don't want to say that I made those great decisions early in the week. It was very much a last-second plug-in-place, and it struck gold. So I should have just gone and bought a lottery ticket on Friday night with the way things were going, because luck was striking. So it was good. We were sitting pretty at the end of Friday night. And for myself, I thought, hey, look, this is great. We didn't even have to reach into our captaincy yet. We still had that to go. So surely it was only going to go up from there, right, Steve?
Right, right.
No, it didn't.
No. Sad.
And what about you? Your booms, let everybody know your booms of the week, because I know you're dying to let the people know.
I didn't really have anything huge this week. I captained Pozuelo, speaking of good captain decisions, and he had 13 points, so that got me 26, which ain't bad. I mean, I think that I started disastrously, which maybe I'll just transition into that, and then we can talk about it. Bounced back all right for me. I got 12 out of Ron. I got 10 out of Ladero. But let me tell you, I'll transition to my bus and then you can talk about your bus, because man, I started really badly. I had Nani in. Nani didn't play. My go-to $4 million player who doesn't play, Clement Bayiha, did play. Zlatan had 1 point. He was on my bench, so that was okay. I wanted to get into Portland's defense against Colorado, thinking this was a good choice. So I took Cascante, and he had -2. Gaetan flubbed a penalty kick, so he ended up with 3 points. Despite all that, somehow I came in 12th in our league this week, and I won my head-to-head. So I bounced back from that, but I was watching that happen, and I was like, "Well, I've chosen all the wrong things." So how did your week go pear-shaped after that good beginning?
My pear-shaped in the form of the fact that I, as well as you, had Zlatan, but instead I put him in my starting lineup. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, we've got the surefire combination of the Chicago Fire. See what I did there?
Yes.
Taking on FU Cincinnati at home. So, of course, they're going to get a shutout, right? So let's go Cronholm in goal. Let's go Francisco Calvo in the back. Let's double dip on this shutout. Let's keep this surefire shutout happening. That lost for about 29 seconds before Alan Cruz decided to score the first pen of the game. So that was disappointing. That shutout went quickly. And then the biggest bust of them all, life got in the way Friday night. Work got in the way, or Saturday night, excuse me. And work got in the way Saturday night, in the sense of, for the hour time span in which a lineup comes out and then the kickoff for the Portland Timbers match, I did not get a chance to check the lineup.
Mm.
I was doing the broadcast duties for Minnesota United. no problem. Should have been fine. I was asked by somebody within the office to do a player meet and greet. Chase Casper, who, by the way, I do have on my team, he got me 8 points, but then he also cost me a lot more points because he was late for his meet and greet.
I see.
I had to stand up in front of the crowd, entertain them for about 10 minutes, which was the biggest bust of the week, and wait for Chase to get there, do the meet and greet. By the time we ended, it was 10:01 Central Time. We knew the lineups were locked, and I got to check and see my captain, Brian Fernandez, sitting firmly on the bench. So while Chase Casper won me 8 points, he also cost me a lot more points with my captaincy. So there's really, none too pleased.
There's really levels to this when you work in MLS like this. It's not just, oh, I picked this guy over this guy and I got screwed. It's like literally my job talking to a player who got me points cost me points on the other end. So
Chase Casper, take it. Is how this weekend played out.
Sounds about right. Let's talk about next week because double game week madness has returned. Let's run down the teams that have double game weeks. Atlanta, DC, Portland, FC Cincinnati, New England, Vancouver, Orlando, Houston, Toronto, New York, Chicago, Columbus. I've been everywhere, man. It's a Johnny Cash song. Every team, I think, is playing two games this week, just about. I'm going to say I'm kind of liking New England options right now. At home against Vancouver, who just got dunked on 3-0 by SKC, and then they're away at FC Cincinnati, who I don't really trust, even with that 2-1 win over Chicago. So I like Carlos Heel this week. Get into that defense with Farrell, or is it Farrell? I don't know.
Yeah, Andrew Farrell. Yep.
I wasn't sure if he was like Perry Farrell or like Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction or Farrell, but I really like that. I mean, it's been a while since I've been excited to say like play some New England players, but I'm kind of interested in Boo as well. Is that how you pronounce his name, or is it Bow? Boo.
Yeah, Bo. I think. Yeah. So what I've done is I've kind of gone the same way with you in that route, and I've got him in the lineup. But let's say he doesn't play. Teal Bunbury is 7.8 million. Bo's coming in at 9.5, so you'll be able to sub those out if you're paying attention to the lineup, and it should be
sure.
You know, Teal Bunbury 4 goals in the last couple of games. So I'm with you. I've got him penciled in right now, but I'm going to be checking the lineups to come out, and maybe can do something similar to what you're thinking. We're on the same page, I think, with that one, Steve.
I mean, Bo is at 9.5 with, you know, sort of the rep he's got with New England ascendant. At this moment in time, it just seems like one of those opportunities. Like, again, I love guys like Gaitan and Pozuelo, these guys who come in and just like make an instant impact. Suddenly they're up like $2 million in a couple weeks, basically. So I like it. And like you're saying, Bunbury is looking very good as well. So if the lineup comes out and he's in and Bo is just traveling with the team, slot him right in. So, I definitely like those options. Anything jumping out to you right now? Any other good ideas that you've had?
Yeah. I'm with you. Jahlil Anibaba is another option too. If you like Farrell or Anibaba, I don't have a problem with that as well. Pairing them with one of those as well. I'm gonna reach back into the well here and go back for the Chicago double dip that I had last week as well. I'm gonna have Cronholm and I'm gonna have Calvo as well. But the beauty of this week is you've got Wednesday night games that are part of a double game week, and you also have Thursday night games that are part of a double game week as well. So you've got the Portland Timbers at home against Orlando City. That's a very long trip for Orlando City to make. They've had a very convoluted schedule. They've been making a deep run into the Open Cup as well. So a lot of miles, a lot of legs, and then Orlando has to fly all the way back home for a game on Sunday against the Red Bulls. So I don't really like any Orlando players in that sense, but I do like the fact that Portland is at home. Then you've got the last match of the week. You've got Timbers versus Sounders. I mean, that's a big matchup at Seattle this week. So, you know, I like that fact. I wouldn't call you absolutely crazy if somehow you found a way to sneak Spencer Ritchie onto your, you know, as your keeperoo, 4.8 million at home against DC United. They've got back-to-back wins for the first time. But then they're also at home again versus the New England Revolution. Now, we're just talking about the Revolution playing against Cincinnati, how great that is. I don't know. That game could very easily be a 0-0 draw. It could be a game in which Cincinnati packs it in, looks at the counter. They're playing with house money, right? This season's kind of a waste for them.
Yeah.
But they're playing at Nippert Stadium twice this week. Can they reel off a shutout in one of those games? it's not inconceivable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Cincinnati is, I mean, they've sort of been a punching bag recently, but obviously those two wins in a row were good. They've gotten back some pieces like Waston, and I think they look okay. You know, they don't look like the worst team in the league anymore after these last couple of weeks. So I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk to pick against Cincinnati. Although, again, you know, they are playing twice, so there are some opportunities there. I think that I think Houston is in a lot of ways more vulnerable because they're just not winning away, and they've got two away games, I believe, if I'm not incorrect. So you got to look at Toronto, I think, or, you know, one of the teams playing Houston. Altidore and Pozuelo back in business. That's a great connection to have right there. I like both those guys this week. I like Quentin Westberg even as a keeper with two favorable home matchups, although he's kind of expensive, and I want to get into Toronto with Pozuelo and Altidore, possibly a defender like Aro. So I think I might go with Guzan on the bench. I know you've been burned before with Guzan. But again, like as you were saying, with these double game weeks, having games on Wednesday and Thursday, it opens up the possibility of putting Guzan on the bench, see how he does in the week's first game. And then if he doesn't, like right now, I've got Steve Clark from Portland in the starting spot. So, you know, we'll just see how Guzan does. If he does well, then I can pull Clark and redistribute those funds.
Absolutely. I think that's a great game plan. I think with Atlanta having two home games this week, Guzan certainly partner him with maybe Michael Parker. So with Breck Shea, the news coming out, the reports that he may have torn his ACL, you know, Michael Parker, seeing that he was the guy that came in for Breck Shea, mm-hmm. you know, do they find a way to get him on the field? Because he's significantly less than both Miles Robinson and Gonzalez Perez. So, you know, do you find a way to get Guzan, Parker, and Joseph Martinez on the field? Because I think Joseph Martinez this week, He screams out to me two home matches as a guy that certainly you've got to find a way to get into your lineup as well. But I love the Altidore Pozuelo shout as well. This is a week I think you go heavy on the front loading of it, and you look to just try to complement it with some smart pieces on the back end that are cost effective, like Michael Parker, like Anibaba, like Farrell, those types of players. Yeah. If you wanted to sneak a Waston in there, I wouldn't hate that either.
Yeah, this is time for the fantasy mullet, the business in the back and the party in the front, the reverse mullet. So
absolutely, I love that one.
Yeah, so I do like some of the guys. Like I like Miles Robinson again for Atlanta. He's not exactly cheap. He's 6.4. He's not super expensive though. I like Schweinsteiger actually on the bench. We were talking about Chicago a little bit earlier before. He's only 5.8, which seems cheap for him. I mean, I know the thing is that he's playing as a center back, but Chicago, I'm very loath to trust Chicago because of not ever winning on the road so far this season. But, you know, Columbus is a wreck right now. They're at home against Columbus. And then against Philly, as good as Philly looks in the standings, they have not been great recently. They're 3-3-4 with a -4 goal differential in their last 10 games. So they're kind of struggling, you know, try to get one of those defenders like Schweinsteiger. If you just get a clean sheet, like you said, against one of those teams, that's huge.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think that even if you wanted to sneak CJ Stepong in up front, if you wanted to go heavy with, you know, an Altidore Martinez, you wanted to find Carlos Gil in there, and then you wanted to get CJ Stepong in there for a cost-effective goal scorer at home against the Crew. And then, you know, can you steal one against the former employer of the Philadelphia Union? Never underestimate how important playing against a former team is. Sure. For somebody, I think he might be a player this week.
Yeah, there's. I was trying to look everywhere and see if there's anybody else I really like. I like Chris Mueller for Orlando just as a value play. He's 6.4. He's been having a good run of form, so his value is likely to go up. Regardless of how they do, you know, they're playing at home against Red Bulls, which I don't hate. Diego Valeri, I think, is going to be big this week playing against Orlando, like you said, in that matchup. And then, you know, big game players come out for big games, and it doesn't get a lot bigger than Seattle versus Portland. So Valeri is definitely one of my, I'm trying to squeeze him in there any way I can. I'd love to get Martinez in there. Two home games for him is terrific. I don't know. I'm going to have to do some serious soul searching and juggling here to see if I can get him in there.
Yeah, and I think that's why you look to save on the back end and party up front, like you said. So, I think that this is going to be a fun week. I think this week is going to be a high-scoring week. So hopefully I don't jinx it, but I think that this could be a week in which there could be some big scores, and so make sure you you try to get in while the getting's good, and the content pick is going to be, I think, what separates people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure you've jinxed it by now with that. But in any case, the sand in the quarter hour glass has run out, and we have come to the end, my friends. For Minnesota United and the cellular Jamie Watson, I'm Steve McPherson. And remember, don't let your fantasies be dreams. Make your dreams come true.